Good evening. Here's some of the news for Thursday, July 14, 2016. Today, the Trump campaign is meeting with GOP party officials to work out rules for next week's Republican National Convention in Cleveland. They want to make sure there are no attempts to derail Trump's nomination. Meanwhile, Trump has approved the list of those on the convention program, in addition to current and former elected officials, athletes, and A-list celebrities. Speaking will be two survivors of the attack on the American consulate in Benghazi, Libya, a slap at Hillary Clinton. Meanwhile, Cleveland is bracing for rallies and protests. What could make these more dangerous than usual is that Cleveland is in an open carry state. It allows legal gun owners to openly carry firearms in public. Cleveland's police chief is discouraging people from walking around with guns during next week's Republican National Convention. Weapons can't be carried inside the convention or within a security perimeter established by the Secret Service. Senior U.S. national security officials, though, are worried about potential for violence at the RNC. During congressional testimony today, Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson said he's concerned demonstrations outside the convention hall may get out of hand. Johnson tells the House Homeland Security Committee there will be 4,000 U.S. government security personnel in Cleveland. A new national poll shows Hillary Clinton with a slight lead over Trump, 42% to 39%. This Marist Washington Post NBC poll says Trump gets almost half of the white vote, but only 6% of black voters nationally plan to support him. Another AP poll shows Americans have mixed feelings on which presidential candidate will do better on health care, trade, the economy, terrorism, and other important issues. But when they simply consider whether they personally would be better off, they prefer Hillary Clinton. Today, Clinton vowed to expand upon President Barack Obama's executive actions on immigration, this despite the Supreme Court's recent deadlocked ruling. In a speech at the League of United Latin American Citizens National Convention, Clinton said she will put a comprehensive immigration bill before Congress in her first 100 days of office. She says the High Court did not actually rule on the substance of the case, and it's within the authority of the president to temporarily stop the deportation for millions of people living in the U.S. without papers. Donald Trump's rhetoric is hurting both New York State and New York City, according to an analysis by the New York City Council. It finds that his proposals to deport immigrants without papers and temporarily ban Muslims could cost New York State more than $800 million and New York City more than 340,000 jobs. New York City Council Speaker Melissa Mark Viverito.
I was asked to do a presentation to the Association for Better New York, and one particular candidate has been very, very explicit about public policies that he wants to set forth if he were president, been very explicit that he would want to do a ban on Muslims coming into this country. He would want to do extensive deportation of no other candidate has been as explicit as he has been on those issues. So based on that, and being the global city that we are, I think it was a responsibility to look at what would be the implications for this city if such policies were enacted. And so that is what the analysis did. We have obviously great staff, great economists, and we looked at that based on reports and numbers and looking at statistics, and we were able to arrive at how devastating the policies if implemented would be for our city. Loss of jobs, loss of revenue, and not just looking at it from that perspective, the policies being proposed are morally reprehensible. Affirm what it is that we believe in, right? It goes counter to what we believe in. So I think it was important to take a look and really get a bit of a reality check.
In other news, President Barack Obama has called new British Prime Minister Theresa May to congratulate her. The White House says he told May on Thursday that the U.S. was committed to deepening the U.S. relationship with the U.K. Obama told her he looks forward to working with her during his final 6 months in office. The White House is pushing back on suggestions that her selection of Boris Johnson as foreign minister will be problematic for the U.S. Johnson had previously described Obama as part Kenyan, who had an ancestral dislike of the British Empire. Today, Secretary of State John Kerry called Boris Johnson. He congratulated him on his new job. He urged a sensible and measured approach to Britain's withdrawal from the EU. President Barack Obama is marking the anniversary of the nuclear deal with Iran with a vow that the U.S. and its partners will uphold their commitments as long as Iran abides by the pact. Congressional Republicans repeatedly are trying to undermine the international accord. Congress sent legislation to President Obama today that would require most food packages to carry a text label, a symbol, or an electronic code readable by a smartphone that indicates whether the food contains genetically modified ingredients, GMOs. The Agriculture Department would have 2 years to write the rules. The White House says Obama will sign the bill. New York City health officials are warning people about the dangers of using the synthetic marijuana K2, which sent 33 people to the hospital in an apparent mass drug overdose on a Bed-Stuy street corner. This was on Tuesday. Witnesses say K2 use in that part of Brooklyn is out of control. 5 bodegas in Brooklyn were raided by police on Wednesday following the mass overdose. Witnesses reported seeing victims lying on the sidewalk, shaking and leaning against trees and fire hydrants in the Bed-Stuy neighborhood. Today, Governor Cuomo said the state will crack down on sale of the illegal drug. He said police will increase enforcement of laws. The evolution of synthetic drugs presents an alarming public health risk, said Cuomo. State health officials and other regulators will also participate in the effort, which is focused on bodegas and other shops that illegally sell K2. City authorities are urging people to call 311 if they know about the sale of the illegal, dangerous drug. The production and sale of K2 was outlawed in the city in October of 2015. In other news, more than 1,500 mourners filled the Cathedral of St. Paul in Minneapolis to remember 32-year-old Philandro Castile. He was shot several times by a St. Paul police officer on July 6th. Castile's fiancée streamed the shooting's aftermath on Facebook Live. Governor Mark Dayton, who suggested race played a role in Castile's death, attended the funeral. The service focused on preserving peace, justice, and reconciliation. Communication is what Queens Council member Danny Drum is urging.
You know, I was with a group of people last night on CNN, actually, and many of the people who were from Dallas and the families of those who have been shot by police officers. And there was a genuine feeling amongst the people in that audience that we've got to come together here. We've got to realize that you can be pro-African-American and you can also be pro-police. We need to talk about the issue, and the issue is really dealing with those police officers who violate their oath of office. And we need to separate out stop and frisk and the other issues. What has happened in the African-American community is that there has been no accountability for officers who violate the law, and they must be held accountable. That, to me, is the crux of the issue. The other stuff is periphery issues. They're peripheral issues. They're not exactly what it is that we're talking about here. But, you know, we must have accountability in these killings of young African-American men.
With emotions running raw, President Barack Obama met privately yesterday with elected officials, law enforcement leaders, and members of the Black Lives Matter movement. The goal is to get them to work together to curb violence and build trust. On Facebook, Obama said, "We'll share solutions from communities that have already found ways to build trust and reduce disparities." In a related matter, New York Representative Hakeem Jeffries was selected to participate in a House task force on police-community relations. The group will examine police accountability, aggression towards law enforcement, and public safety concerns. In other news, there was anger and outrage at City Hall yesterday about a compromise reached by the New York City Council Speaker Melissa Mark Viverito and NYPD Commissioner Bill Bratton, which activists say fails to bring the Right to Know Act to a vote. The set of bills in the Right to Know Act are simple. They require officers to identify themselves if they are stopping you, and it protects against unconstitutional stops by affirming your right to refuse a search without probable cause. Instead, police reform advocates say a backroom deal was reached between the City Council Speaker and Bill Bratton, that it waters down what was in the bill, does not require compliance or transparency. New York City Council member from Manhattan, Rosie Mendez.
Commissioner Bratton says that we should not be policing the police, that that's their job. Yeah, well, on a daily basis as the City Council, we introduce legislation to tell city agencies
what to do. That's right.
And here, it's even more clear, the police cannot police themselves.
That's right.
Jose Lopez is with Make the Road New York and New York Communities for Change.
Under the consent bill, one of the most important pieces that's being left out is the collection of objective proof. So asking and informing the civilian is there, but the collection of objective proof to create the additional layer of protection for us as community members is not. And so what that leaves us at is what we already have. The word of a community member against the word of a police officer, and 10 times out of 10, we know exactly where that leaves us.
Beverly Tillery is with the New York City Anti-Violence Project. She says the bill, the Right to Know Act, is very important to the LGBTQ community.
Even though the patrol guide instructs police officers that they are not to use anti-LGBTQ slurs, people hear them every day from police officers. It informs them how to interact with transgender people. But those rules, all of these rules and others, are not being followed. Unfortunately, without a real law, we have little to no legal recourse or oversight when the rules are not followed. The police department has shown us that they are not able to police and regulate themselves. We need to pass the Right to Know Act into law in order to bring real accountability and transparency. This is the only way we can have meaningful change in this city. The speaker has a decision to make today. Is she going to stand on the right side of police reform in our city and not go the route of administrative change? We're calling on her as AVP and others. We're standing in solidarity with the other organizations here across the city, expressing our huge disappointment with her efforts to undermine police reform and prevent a vote on the Right to Know Act. We need the City Council Speaker to bring police reform legislation to a vote in New York City immediately. We need her to be the national leader that New York City is known for and that we, as a community, expect and demand.
Jemani Williams, council member from Brooklyn, with betrayal in his voice, said he didn't think he'd have to be back out on the steps of City Hall speaking for the Right to Know Act, which was proposed and then debated long ago.
I should not be here fighting against a city government that was elected precisely to vote these bills and precisely to change police reform. We voted for transformative police reform change. We're demanding police reform change. I'm proud that the sponsors have said they want to continue to push these bills forward. We need a vote and a legislative change. I gotta say, these past few days has been very disturbing for me as I try to figure out what to do about this. But in the back of my head, I'm saying at least I'm a legislator, part of a legislature that was voted for transformative change. We should not take that away. Do not take our ability to make laws and be a beacon of this nation of how it should be done. So I'm proud to be here, but I'm sad that we have to be here. We must pass the Right to Know Act. We must pass it now. This legislature has to stand strong. We talk about codifying laws. We talk about showing who we are as a legislature that does not stop at the Right to Know Act. We have to be brave. We have to be courageous in the face of a difficult conversation.
Speaker Melissa Mark-Vivitito at City Hall today said the legislation option is still open, that a set of police reform bills put forth is based out of the Right to Know Act. The speaker said she was not coerced into a compromise with the NYPD.
I am an independent individual. I lead this legislative body in consultation with my members. And I arrive at my decisions based on those conversations. No one intimidates me into the decisions I make. No one forces me to take a position that I don't feel is in the best interest of this legislative body of the City of New York in consultation with my members. So anyone that wants to imply otherwise is just straight up wrong. And I think that my members can speak to that as well.
One police reform bill, 824A, put forth by the City Council, requires the NYPD to report deployment of officers with CCRB, Civilian Complaint Review Board, complaints, those charged or accused of wrongdoing, and NYPD officers who used excessive force within the last 3 years. Staten Island Councilmember Debbie Rose.
I introduced this bill because I was shocked. I was shocked to learn from the press, of all places, that 7 out of 10 of the most sued police officers in New York City Police Department were based in my district, and moreover, in the 120th precinct, and that my precinct ranked 11th in respect to officers with substantiated CCRB complaints. These statistics were startling and very disturbing, especially in light of the Eric Garner incident. And they left me and my constituents with a lot of questions about how placement of officers were determined. Intro 824A will require the NYPD to post a report that includes for each precinct, each housing police service area and transit district, the total number and percentage of active duty officers who have had two or more cases substantiated by the Civilian Complaint Review Board in the last 3 calendar years and were subject to an internal affairs investigation that resulted in the officer's suspension from employment within the last 5 calendar years. Have been found by the department to have used excessive force in the last 3 calendar years, or have been arrested as a result of actions taken while on duty or related to the officer's job function in the last 10 calendar years. This bill will enable us to look at where officers are placed and why certain complaints might be happening. It will help the police department determine whether and where additional training is needed. And finally, it will also allow the council, the mayor, and NYPD to review where there are problems and help to rectify them. Experience has shown us time and again that transparency, accountability, and trust are key to building strong police-community relations. My hope is that the produced results of this bill will be part of a productive conversation about how we can best ensure the safety of all of our residents, as well as those who are sworn to protect us.
And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. As the country continues to grapple with the effect of gun violence and the scourge of illegal guns on our streets, East Flatbush hosted a recent town hall discussion on issues surrounding gun violence at the historic Samuel Tilden High School. Manny Reed reports.
In the school's gymnasium, residents shared harrowing stories of murder and pain.
My son was murdered. I don't like to hear when people use the word lost because I didn't lose him. He didn't run away. He was murdered in 2013.
Residents of East Flatbush came out to discuss how to improve matters in their neighborhood. Borough President Eric Adams, who spoke directly to parents and community members, said the community needs to protect young people.
Guns, bullets are not carving highways of death on 63rd and Park Avenue. They're doing that on Park Place in Brooklyn. And we need to arm our parents with all the skills they need.
The Brooklyn Borough President says parents have to be protectors in the homes.
Listen, some people don't feel when I say it, Listen, I go through my son's book bag. I look at his phone. I want to know where you going. When you go to school, I check up on you. I do spot checks to see if you're in your classroom. I have to protect him till he gets to the place where he can protect himself. That's my role.
As firearms are deeply rooted in history, gun violence plays out over and over throughout our communities. Adams says we have to outsmart the people who are trying to take our children from us. We have to be just as smart, just as intelligent as ever.
And before a 9mm comes on the street, it is under someone's mattress. It is in someone's book bag. These children have become so smart of playing the game. They have a community gun where they will hide it in one location where different people can use it. So we have to outsmart the people who are trying to take our children from us. We have to be just as smart, just as intelligent as ever.
In the gymnasium, students wore orange t-shirts and orange GMAC, gangsters making astronomical community changes, baseball caps. They are supervised by Aaron Sledge Jones. He says there are basic steps to follow to try and bring the community together, including a violence interruption technique called canvassing.
What we do is, you know, we have basic steps to how we try to bring the community together. We canvass, and through canvassing, we're able to give community education on shootings and what's going on. For example, statistics on shootings that have been happening in the neighborhood or within the jurisdictions in which we canvass. So by us doing that, we meet a lot of people. And by us doing that, when someone gets shot, we respond and the community comes out. And that's what we call community mobilization.
Community mobilization is a linchpin to more awareness, an opportunity to bring about more change and more resolve.
See, in order to do the job that a violence interrupter does, you have to have, first of all, you have to be a credible messenger.
The GMAC supervisor shares the value of having the right credentials to be a violence interrupter.
For example, I came from that background, so I can relate to what they're going through right now. And not only are we mediating conflicts and giving other crews or gangs or whatever the violence may be a chance to save face, because that's what it's always about a lot of times, saving face. These kids don't want to be punks. You don't want to be, you know, the words that, so we give them alternate ways to live.
East Flatbush's town hall allowed for community members to share the state of events in their neighborhood, as well as have face-to-face discussions with elected officials. Sledge, GMAC, and all the other community organizations dedicating their time and effort and their attention for such a strong purpose serve as beacons of hope. Manny Reed, WBAI News, New York.
And that's the WBAI Evening News for Thursday, July 14th, 2016. The news was produced with Manny Reed and Reggie Johnson. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.